I just wanted to repeat the question, and we'll try to answer it to yourself. We'll try to answer it, if that's okay. It's okay. I'm sorry. Simon asks a very good question, and that is that if God indeed is eternal, God is not a human being, and we believe that there's no human aspect to God. You can't say God is a he or a she, and it's always a problem when you're speaking about God. God said that, or God this, it's very hard to refer to God in the feminine and the masculine, because God is neither. I just did it. Ultimately, what we have a problem with is that if God indeed is not a physical being, then how did he rest? The answer, I believe, is that our connotation of the word rest is not what it says in the Bible. And this brings us back to a wonderful time in which Jewish knowledge was something that was sought by you. And ultimately, to make Judaism accessible to anyone that would like to grasp it, you have to translate it. Why do we have to translate it? It's in a different language than you speak. We all speak English or French. And ultimately, the Bible is written and given to us in Hebrew. The oral Torah, which is another part of our system of law, was given mostly in Hebrew and Aramaic. So ultimately, we're talking about languages that you and I can't understand, right? So, in order for it to be comprehensive, we translated the Bible, okay? It was translated into many languages. The problem is, translation is sometimes off. When you usually read a book of literature, you always try to find the original. Because ultimately, any translation won't necessarily pinpoint or hit the nail on the head on every phrase used. So, for example, if it says someone went, you can write it in English and Hebrew, it doesn't make a difference. But when you come to certain phrases in the Torah, certain phrases in our Bible, we have a problem. What's the problem? You can't translate the phrases properly. So what do they do in those situations? They don't leave it the way it is. They do what all human beings do. For example, if I ask you a question you didn't know, if you're honest, you'd say, I don't know. But sometimes it's much easier to make up an answer than to say, I don't know. So you make up a word that's close or maybe not so close, and that's the word you put in. One of the catastrophes before the word rest is the word melacha. Melacha is a word that cannot be translated into English. And that word is a very important word when you speak about the Sabbath. I'll explain why. How many people here know the Ten Commandments? It says in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it. That's a hard verse in itself. We'll leave it alone for now. 6 days you shall work and do all your melacha. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath to God. You shall do no melacha. What's melacha? So, translators come and they say it probably means work, because it says 6 days shall you work and do all your melacha. So they wrote, 6 days shall you work and do all your work. And on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath to God, don't do your work. There's only one problem with that translation. What's the problem? Students of literature, 6 days you shall work and do all your work. What would be the question you'd ask your teacher?
Why would you say work twice?
It's redundant. It's superfluous. It makes absolutely no difference to say 6 days you shall work and do work. That's like saying, you shall walk and then you shall walk. You shall take the car and you shall drive. It makes absolutely no sense. So, it made no sense, but they substituted other words there. Melacha means 39 forbidden acts. Not work, but 39 acts of work that are forbidden on the Sabbath day. Work is okay on Sabbath. 6 days you shall work and do all the 39 acts. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath for God, don't do the 39 forbidden acts. Okay? Now, when you're translating the Bible word for word, you cannot usually substitute one word, one phrase, for five. It's like when I once had the pleasure of having a cold conversation with someone who didn't speak a word of English. He spoke Spanish. It seemed like every time I said the word hello, the translation was five more words. Right? I'd say, how are you? It went on for 2 minutes. How are you? It took me 2 seconds to say. So, you can't do that when you translate. So they substituted words, and unfortunately, this led to the biggest misconception about the Sabbath day. Everybody knows, when is the Sabbath for the Jews?
Saturday
is Sabbath, right. So Saturday is the Sabbath for the Jewish people. And ultimately, people say you can't work on Saturday. Absolutely baloney. And that's not kosher baloney. I can't eat it. Absolutely baloney. You want to know why it's baloney? Because it never said that. It said 6 days you shall work. Work is great. And do all the melacha. On the Saturday, you can't do melacha. It doesn't say you can't work. Melacha means 39 forbidden acts. Okay? So ultimately, that's one example of how translations can go ahead and totally turn around the real connotation and the real significance of the word. Now let's get to your question. Your question was, if God is not a physical being, how did he rest? The answer is God never rested. What do I mean? The first chapter of Genesis, towards the end of the chapter, brings the whole description of the seventh day of creation, namely Saturday. Okay? It says there that on that particular day, God stopped creating. It doesn't say rest. It says God stopped creating. In other places in the Bible, it says the word menucha, again a Hebrew word. Now, the word menucha in modern Hebrew, if you went to Israel, you want to learn modern Hebrew, they'll tell you it means siesta. It means rest. It means stopping to work and taking a little nap or a snooze. But not in ancient Hebrew, not in biblical Hebrew. In biblical Hebrew, rest means not doing certain things and engaging in other things. In this particular context, it means, the word rest that you were referring to, not engaging in creative labor, engaging maybe in spiritual labor. Okay? So therefore, it's definitely okay on a Sabbath, for example, to warm up food that's been cooked. It's not okay, it's against Jewish law, it violates Jewish law for a Jew, to warm up on Saturday food that's not edible, namely cooking it. So cooking would be a violation of the rest. That would be creative labor. You take a raw piece of meat and you make it edible for you to eat. If you like meat, of course. If you don't like meat, then maybe we'll give you a vegetarian dish. I don't mean you personally. Anyway, the truth of the matter is that the word rest is not at all an obligation. It's not at all the idea. The idea is not engaging in creative labor, engaging more in spiritual labor, which is okay, as well as doing other things that are not creative labor. Okay? So that's the answer to your question. God never rested in the sense that he took a snooze. God did other things. The problem is in the translation of the words. But that's an ongoing problem, not just in Judaism, in any literature, that's a problem. And ultimately, that's what it meant. God rested. It meant God did not engage in creative labor. He didn't continue the creation of the world. Okay? Very good. Next question.